We often limit God by our unbelief. We look at a situation, well, yeah, God can take care of that, but well, that one over there, well, I don't know about that. That's pretty severe over there. Come on. There is nothing too difficult for Him.
Amen.
Nothing is impossible.
That's right.
With Him. Now, Jesus came that we might have life and life more abundantly. Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. Jesus came to set the captives free. Do you know that there's not one person sitting here today that needs to walk out of here bound up by anything? Do you know that God wants you to be free right now? Because the kingdom of heaven is among you right now. He is here now. And it's up to us whether we want to step out of our comfort bubble and our place of predictability to trust God and to believe God that today I'm going to receive my miracle. He is a God that wants to manifest Himself to you. He wants to reveal Himself to you. It's not just for that guy over there because he's special or because he's such a nice Christian fella. You know, God certainly would bless him, but God wouldn't bless me because do you know how I've lived my life? Do you realize, you know, where I've been and what I've done? Now, obviously, God, you know, couldn't love me as much as He loves this guy over here. Has anybody ever felt that way? How many know that's a lie? Because without the blood of Jesus, none of us are able to be in His presence. None of us would be qualified to come before Him except by the mercy of God. And He demonstrated that great love for us on the cross, that while we were yet sinners, still in our sin, Christ died. Christ died that we might be free. You don't have to be bound by fear. You don't have to be bound by shame. You don't have to be bound by guilt. You don't have to be bound by condemnation. You don't have to be bound by sin. You don't have to be bound, amen, by the devil anymore, because the kingdom of God is among you. Because Jesus Christ has overcome the world. Because the blood of Jesus has overcome. Amen?
Amen.
And therefore, every sickness, disease, every problem, every demon is subject to the name of Jesus.
Amen.
The will of the Father is what we must know, is what we must be, what we must hear is His voice. What is God saying? What is God doing? We need revelation from Him so that we will do like Jesus did. You know, Jesus didn't just go about doing His own thing just because it was a good thing to do. We've all gone about doing good things because we thought it was just a good thing to do. But you know, you can go about doing good things but not right things. And so the key here is to stay plugged in, stay tuned in, to hear His voice, to do just what He's telling you to do. Don't go beyond what He's telling you to do. And don't live below what He's called you to do and to who you're called to be. And each one of us here is a threat to the kingdom of darkness.
Hallelujah.
Every one of us here in Christ, if Christ is in you, you are a threat to the kingdom of darkness. The devil does not want you to know that. The devil wants to magnify evil around you and in your eyes so that you begin to shift away from faith in God to faith in Him. Now we say, well, I don't put my faith. Well, sometimes we're believing that He's greater than God without actually saying it. We do that when we doubt God and we start to look at the problem and that magnifies itself above what is true. And as soon as we shift from the truth, then we're looking at the lie. And guess what? We're worshiping at that altar of deception. God wants you and I simply to believe Him. Believe His word. Believe what He says. God is faithful and true. God will back up and amen? He will confirm His word. And He will confirm it with accompanying signs. God wants His people to know who they are. God wants His people to walk in their new identity. God wants His people to be about His business and destroying the works of the devil, setting captives free, healing the sick, casting out demons, cleansing the lepers, raising the dead. Freely we have received. And as we receive, then we have something to give. It's not enough just to talk about theory. It's not enough just to have Bible study and be continually learning about God. The reason why we learn about God is that we may know God, that we may walk with God. There are those who are ever learning, but they're never coming to the knowledge of the truth. And the knowledge of the truth is a personal walk with Jesus Christ. Moving forward with confidence. You know that God has created every one of us here with purpose. There's not one accident here. Now, sometimes our parents might have thought that. Oops. There's no accidents. You're here for a reason. You're here with purpose. And God wants us to walk in our purpose. He wants us to live a victorious life. Why does He want us to live a victorious life? Because He's already purchased it for us. We don't have to live in bondage. We don't have to live in fear. I'm going to say it again. We don't have to live in shame. You don't have to live in guilt. You don't have to live in condemnation. You can live completely free from that junk. And you can walk free from that as you believe what God has already said and what God has already done, what He's already accomplished for us. How many know that yesterday's failure should never stop you or prevent you from today's victories? If you dwell on your failures, you'll never walk in your new destiny. Amen? Forget about what happened yesterday. Forget about the past. Forget about your past failures. Failures can be stepping stones to success. You can learn from your failure. You can say, yeah, that was dumb. I did that. However, comma, I'm going to be wise and I'm going to learn from my mistakes. And I'm going to be better because of my mistakes. You know, much of our learning process is going to be through mistakes. It's always better if we can learn from the mistakes of others. Would you agree? And say, well, they did that. I don't want to repeat that same folly. But that's not always how it happens. Sometimes we just have to fall on our face a few times before we learn. Now, Jesus said, be of good cheer, for I have, what? Overcome the world. Now, we also are overcomers in Christ. Now, many of us do not walk in that overcoming victory that He's purchased for us, but it is yours already. Jesus has overcome the world. How can we be of good cheer? How can we rejoice? Because Jesus has overcome. And because Christ is in me, it makes me an overcomer too. Now listen, if you do not believe you are an overcomer, you will not overcome. I'm going to say it again. If you do not believe you are an overcomer, you will not overcome. If you believe in your heart that you're a failure, then you'll continue to fail. If you believe in your heart you're a loser, you'll continue to lose. But if you believe in your heart that I am a new creation, that I'm a new creation in Christ, that old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. It is a new day. I am living in my new identity today. What was is what was. I'm not living out of that anymore. I am dead to what was. I am walking in the right now. I am buried with Christ. Amen? I am risen with Christ. The old is gone, the new has come. My new identity is I am a citizen of heaven. I am a child of God. The key to overcoming sin is believing you have already been set free from sin. I'll let it settle in for a few. The key to overcoming sin is to believe that you have already been set free from sin. Now, some of you are saying, are you saying then that we don't have sin? No, I didn't say that. I said the key to overcoming sin is to believe that you have already, in Christ, been set free from sin. You are under new ownership in Christ. Amen. You have a new master. Sin is not your master. It shall not have dominion over you. So for you to overcome those besetting sins, those things that plague you, those problems, those habits, whatever it might be that you know God is not pleased with, how do you overcome that? By believing in your heart that Christ has already overcome, that Christ is in me, that makes me an overcome, that I'm already free from those things. I'm no longer subject to those things. No longer do I have to bow down to that sin because I'm free in Christ Jesus, whomsoever he sets free. It's a matter of faith. It's what we believe to be true. Isn't that what God has called us to in this covenant? Is to believe? Abraham believed God. Abraham believed the report. He heard the message and he believed it and he was declared righteous. And the same thing is true for you and for me. It's when we believe. Whosoever believeth in him should not perish. Now, it's not just intellectual assent. Everybody can say, oh, I believe in God. Do you believe God? Do you really believe God? Do you believe his word? Do you believe what he says? Do you believe the report is good? Do you believe that God really means what he means? Because the devil will say God doesn't really mean what he means. Yeah, you read that there, but that doesn't really apply to you because just look at your life. It's a mess. Why is your life a mess? Because you're not believing what God said. And so when we don't believe what God says, we give access. We give the enemy opportunity to beat us up. If we don't believe that we have power over him, over the devil, then he's going to mess you up. He's going to punk you out. Isn't it true? If you don't believe that greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world, then he picks up on that. He knows that. You know, a dog realizes when a person is afraid of them. Do you know you're more vulnerable to a bite from a dog that's vicious when you're afraid of them than if you're not? They sense that. You know, the enemy's like that. He can operate in the places of fear because in the places of fear is where there's really doubt. It's unbelief. Well, I'm not really sure, God, are you going to come through for me here? I better not mess with him because what if God doesn't come through? What if, what if, what if? You got to flush the what ifs. Amen?
Amen.
You got to believe what God said. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Because it's when we try to rationalize, when we try to figure it out, when we try to operate from the place of reason, well, logically, this isn't possible. Right. Walking by faith is not a place where you walk in the predictable. Amen. It's a place where you're walking in a place where it's beyond your capability to do. God wants to show up in our lives. God wants to move in our lives. But you've got to believe that he is able to do what he promised he would do. You've got to believe his word. If you don't believe that you're an overcomer, you won't be. If you don't believe you're free from sin, then sin will continually dominate you. You say, well, I've been trying. It's been so hard. It's because the enemy is very deceptive. And what he does is he tells you that your sin is actually greater than the power of God. Do you hear that? The enemy lies and he says, your sin is greater than the power of God. Your habit is greater than the power. That's what he tells you. And if we start believing that, if we even start fearing our sin, we're giving power to it. And it can dominate us then. Romans 6:17. But God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of teaching to which you were delivered. Verse 18, Romans 6:18. And having been set free from sin. Having been set free from sin. You became slaves of righteousness. I speak in human terms because of the weakness of your flesh. For just as you presented your members of slaves of uncleanness, of lawlessness leading to more lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves of righteousness for holiness. Listen, verse 20. For when you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. What fruit did you have then in the things which you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. Verse 22, but now having been set free from sin and having become slaves or servants of God, you have your fruit to holiness and the end everlasting life. In other words, we're not to be preoccupied with boxing the devil, with dealing with sin. Your focus should never be on your sin. Your focus should be on Him. When you worship God in spirit and in truth, when you walk with Jesus, you're not preoccupied with your sin. When you're preoccupied, the enemy wants you to say, he says, hey, look over here, over here, over here. Look at me. Look at your sin. When you're looking at that, what he does is he magnifies it. That's why fear, you know, people like to watch scary movies, you know. But I would recommend to you that you don't. Because you're exalting something, you're actually exalting a lie when you watch a horror flick or a scary movie. I want you to hear it. Why? Because the enemy wants to magnify fear. Because it's the opposite of love. It's the opposite of faith. It works with love, by love. So that's what his plan is to get people. And right now, if you go down to Borders or to Barnes and Nobles and you look, especially on teens and young adult racks, there is rack after rack after rack, but nothing but occult stuff now. Vampirism, witchcraft, Wicca, Satanism, everything is there. And that is the big sell. Exalting a lie, exalting fear, so that he can captivate this generation. How many know that we are not to have anything to do with the unfruitful works of darkness? We are to guard our eye gates, our ear gates. Amen. What comes out of this thing right here? Because in Christ we are dead to sin. We're dead to it. How many know that it's impossible for you to win if you're afraid to lose? You ever play sports? Any kind of competitive thing? Well, if you approach that with this idea that I'm going to lose, chances are you're going to lose. But if you go with the mentality that says, we can do this thing, we can take this thing, we can overcome this problem, this sin is not going to be my master anymore. I'm dead to sin. I'm alive in God, and greater is He that's in me than he that's in the world. I believe that I have been set free from sin already. Folks, we're not to be preoccupied with our sin. That's where the problem is. The enemy wants you to pay attention to that. What we need to do is be preoccupied with the will of God. What is the will of my Father? I ain't got time for the foolishness. My life is dedicated to Him. My life is for Him. We need to believe we are overcomers as a present reality, not something to be achieved. Now, here's the problem again. Some of us are trying to achieve righteousness. We're trying to achieve a victory. What we need to do is come to a place of faith in what God has already accomplished. And we begin to speak what God already says, that I am dead to sin, but alive in God. I believe what God said. I put my faith in the word of truth, and I know the truth, and the truth sets me free. It's not a matter of working harder at it. It's a matter of believing what God says, speaking, thinking on, dwelling on what is true, and anything that doesn't line up with what is true, we cast it down. I don't have time for that. I'm not going to be preoccupied with my sin. I'm dead to it. I'm alive to God. Jesus, you know, through the prophet, my people perish for lack of knowledge. It's because people don't understand. They don't know what is true about them, that the enemy continues to keep them in bondage. Now, we cannot say that we have no sin. But what we can say is that I'm no longer a servant of sin. 1 John 1 and 8 says, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. And the truth is not in us. Now, in the occult world, they claim there's no such thing as sin and guilt. It's the opposite, you see. They just say that, there's no such thing. So therefore, I'm free to do whatever I want. Isn't it interesting that the things that the devil presents to us that are supposedly going to give us freedom end up chaining us up, end up robbing us and stealing from us? The very thing that promised freedom end up becoming bondage for me. If we confess our sins, many of us know this, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him, God, a liar, and His word is not in us. Now, faith in our ability to please God or to live for God is misplaced faith. You hear that? Faith in my ability to live for God is misplaced faith. Faith in God alone gives us victory, overcoming victory. Why? Because God always performs His word. God always aligns with His word. God always agrees with His word. If you agree with what is true and you do what is true and you live what is true, it will be true for you. But if we live for the lie will also be what seems to be true in our lives. Deceived people don't know they're deceived. That's why it's called deception, right? You never hear anybody say, yeah, I know I'm deceived. No, we think that we're doing the right thing, and yet we're not at times. We are deceived. You're believing a lie as though it were true. Until the truth comes, the word of God, the light of Christ comes into our hearts, and we begin to say, whoa, I can't believe I lived like that. I can't believe I used to do that. You know, even when I get around alcohol today, you know, if somebody comes in and there's smelling of alcohol, reeking of alcohol, you know, I don't want to get on into the subject of alcohol because there's people that may have alcohol in small amounts with faith before God. That's between you and God, but you're not to allow your liberty to cause someone else to stumble. And so in America, I don't think it's a good idea. I don't think it's wise. I'm certainly not going to touch this stuff. And in the Bible, it says that a bishop is not to touch, amen, or an overseer is not to touch the stuff, and that a deacon is not to be given to much of it. And we're talking about differences in culture. And I just feel like in America, where we have fresh juices and stuff, we don't need to drink. Why do we need to drink alcoholic beverage? What would be the purpose of it? Huh? Could it be to get buzzed? You don't need the buzz of the world. When you are getting high on Jesus, you don't need that stuff anymore. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We thank you for your word today. 1 John 5, 4 says, for whatever is born of God overcomes the world. Whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. So what are we talking about here? This is all about our faith in God, folks. It's not in our performance. It's not in our works. It's in our faith in what God has promised. See, that was the problem the Jews had, is because the Jews were used to living by the rules. And then when Paul came and he's preaching this gospel of grace, they had a problem with it because they say, hey, we've been doing a pretty good job living by the law. And now you're telling these Johnny-come-latelys, these new people that come on the scene, that they don't have to do all that stuff. All they got to do is believe in Jesus now. And they had a problem with that because they were comparing themselves with others, especially the Pharisee. You know, they were pretty righteous in their own eyes, comparing themselves with others and saying, God, I thank you that I'm not like other men. But the one man that beat his chest and said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner, went away justified. God has leveled the playing field, folks. It's not going to be the haves and the have-nots. It's all going to be through the cross of Jesus that we come. Amen? Through the mercy, through the blood of Jesus that we come. And we receive, hallelujah, forgiveness of sins and eternal life. And we become a new creation. We become free from sin. It's no longer my master. Do you believe today that you are really free from sin? You see, to the level, to the degree that we believe we're free from sin, you will walk free from sin. It's in the areas where the devil has lied to you and said you can't be free, you can't get over it, you can't do it. Those are the areas where he'll still camp out because he's magnifying a lie, and the truth needs to come and be applied to that and wash it out. Amen?
Amen?
We need to be renewed with the washing of the Word. So get the Word into us. See, God has won for us already what we could not do for ourselves. So now we can go forward with confidence. In Romans 4:22, it says, Because of Abraham's faith, God counted him as righteous. And when God, this is New Living Translation, when God counted him as righteous, it wasn't just for Abraham's benefit. It was recorded. But for our benefit, too, assuring us that God will also count us as righteous if we believe in him, the one who raised Jesus, our Lord, from the dead. He was handed over to die because of our sins, and he was raised to life to make us right with God. Jesus did it all. What's my part? To believe that Jesus did it all. When I believe Jesus did it all, when I believe the report that God has already set me free from sin, that over 2,000 years ago it was finished, hallelujah, that my sins were nailed to the cross, and I remember them no more, God says. When I believe that is a reality for me, then I have the power of His grace upon my life. I walk in joy. I walk in righteousness. I walk in peace. I'm no longer bound by fear and shame and guilt and condemnation. God says, I don't want that in your life. You're my child. You walk with me now. You see, we can dump all this stuff on people and you know, put a heavy load of performance upon them, and you got to live just like this or else you ain't going to heaven. Have you ever heard that message before? God has already done everything that we might have life. He's already made available to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. The purpose for the law was to reveal our sin. We became aware of our sinfulness when we heard the word and we say, God, I am guilty as charged. And we come to Jesus for freedom. We come to Jesus for forgiveness, a cancellation of the debt. The price has already been paid. Grace now freely flows to those who believe. Not to those who work, but those who believe. What God says. I am the righteousness of God in Christ. Here's another one. Never put your faith in your ability to have faith. But fully trust God who keeps His promises. You see, this is another problem. It's sometimes we're putting our faith in our ability again to have faith. I think I can, I think I can, I think I can. The little engine that could. Don't put your faith in your ability to have faith. How many know that faith is a gift from God? It's all grace, folks. It's all grace. You're either going to live in grace or you're going to live in law. But if you try to live in both at the same time, you're going to be bound. You're going to be miserable. You're going to fail, and you're never going to get set free. You need to make up your mind that I'm done with what was. I'm dead to what was. I'm dead to the law. I'm dead to sin. I'm alive in Christ. I'm a new creation. The old is gone. The new has come. I'm a victor, amen, because the victor's in me. I'm an overcomer because the overcomer's in me. I have already overcome because I'm with Jesus. When faith says that which is not as though it were, what he's saying is that, hey, I believe what God has already done for me. I'm already an overcomer. I'm not trying to be an overcomer. That's works. I am, in my new identity in Christ, an overcomer because I'm with the overcomer. He's the one that justifies me, not me, myself. Because we can all give ourselves kudos, you know, and say, yeah, you're doing pretty good these days. And usually we slack off, we quit praying, we quit, you know, because we're doing pretty good. What are we doing? We're putting confidence in ourselves now. As soon as we start putting confidence in ourselves, we start to lose grace. We start to fall from grace. Why? Because my grace comes only through my connection to Him. My trust in Him, my hope in Him, fully trusting in the grace of God. God doesn't want us to serve Him as a means of justification. Why do we serve God? Because we've already been justified. It's true. Come on. In the church, there's so many believers that are trying by, really, they may not say that with their mouth, but in action, they're trying to somehow earn credit with God by doing stuff for God. You don't serve God to get credit with God. You serve God because you've been set free to serve Him. You serve God because you love God, because you want to serve Him, because He set you free. Hallelujah. Come on. When those guys got off the plane from Vietnam, how many remember some of the guys coming home? I was a little guy then, but I remember watching some of that on television. These guys are getting off the plane. And they'd been incarcerated for years. And man, when they got off that plane and they touched ground, they got down on their hands and knees and they kissed the ground. And they were set free. A person who has been liberated will be a person who walks in joy. A liberated person has peace. A liberated person knows that I'm right now. Things are right. When we're liberated, we will serve the Lord with gladness. When we're liberated, we will rejoice in the Lord gladly. When we know that we're free, we can come with confidence. When we're free, we can move forward with confidence. When we're free in Him, we can destroy the works of the devil in confidence. Not trusting in myself, but in my God who's with me. Is this making sense? See, the devil wants you and I to doubt what God has said and what He has done. He wants us to doubt, again, you know, what God has said. That's what it's all been from the beginning, isn't it? Yea, did God say? Did God really say that? Now, let's think about this. Did God really mean what He said? It's all about the mind games. It's all about what you're going to believe. To believe or not to believe? That is the question. Do I believe what God said? If I really believe what God says, then what He says will be something that I receive. To receive Jesus is to receive His word. Is to receive what He said. Because you cannot separate God from His word. People who to as many as received Him. What does that mean? They received the word, Him, the word. To them He gave the right, the authority to become the sons of God. Are there any sons and daughters of God here this morning? New creations. How many are free from sin today? Amen. You see, you need to walk in that every day. The world is telling us that you need to believe in yourself. How many have discovered the problem is myself? The greatest love of all is learning to love yourself. Well, not quite. The greatest love of all is the love of God. And when the love of God is in our hearts, amen, then we will love ourselves and we will love others. But it's not the other way around. Because loving yourself is usually selfishness. And what it produces often is when you're all about you, you're looking out for number one. I want to make sure I'm taken care of first. Are you with me? Trusting in yourself. Oh, just believe in yourself. No, believe in your God, who freely grants you grace to flourish, amen, and to blossom and to bear fruit and to be, you know, experiencing the joy of abundant life in this world even. It was by faith in God. You see, that's why people, sometimes folks, they check out. They just say, I can't handle this anymore, because they have put this whole thing on their own shoulders. They're trying. They're working at it. They're struggling at it to somehow earn or to achieve some place that they think is will make me happy. And how many know that the happiness is the Lord? True joy is the Lord. It's not in the things that I even do. It's in my walk with Him. It's in my knowing of Him. It's in my trusting and believing in Him. It's in me believing and receiving His word as what is true and what is going to be the standard for my life. It's not about working. It's about believing. You getting that? Sometimes people, they serve and they work and they do and they struggle and they have a good motivation usually. But if it's not the motivation of the Holy Spirit, if God's not telling you to do that, then you're just wasting your time. You can waste your time doing all kinds of good things, but not the right things. It all begins with this reality that God so loved me. That God loved me. That God does love me. That He gave Jesus to die in my place. Because I could not save myself, God took the initiative to provide salvation as a gift. That I could receive Christ, I could be transformed, I could receive a new nature, that one that will desire to please God as I walk in relationship with Him. But how do we please God? Lord, what shall we do to do the works of God? They asked Him. Believe on Him whom the Father has sent. What is He saying? Believe what I tell you. I came to give you life. The thief came to rob, to steal, right? To kill and to destroy. But I came that you might have life. So the thief is trying to get you into his camp all the time, by putting you back under the bondage of performance and works and striving and struggling. Get you preoccupied with your sins and your problems so that they'll magnify in your eyes and you'll begin to doubt God and put more faith in the lie and keep you in that place of bondage. You got to be dead to that, be gone with it. It's out of my life. It's no longer an issue. When I came to the realization that I no longer have to be subject to those things, I was set free. It was by revelation that I was set free. It was coming to the knowledge of the truth. Amen? This is really a battle of truth, folks. It's what it is. We don't have to box the devil. Truth defeats the devil every time. There's some people that they're so stuck on the devil. The devil this, the devil that, the devil. Forget the devil. Speak on, dwell on the truth. Receive the truth. Say, wait a minute, that doesn't line up with the truth. Now, I'm not saying there aren't times when you need to kick the devil and you need to rebuke him. You need to cast him out, whatever. I'm saying that that's not supposed to be our focus. See, that's another deception. He wants to get you preoccupied with him so that he'll magnify himself. Hey, he's just like a spoiled brat kid that wants the attention all the time. Have you ever noticed that? You know, demons are just like that. Look at me, look at me. Pay attention to me. Hey, over here, over here. Hey, come on, come on. That's what they do. They want the attention. They're trying to get your focus off of God and onto them. It's like, I don't have time for you. Be gone in Jesus' name. I'm about my Father's business, and I'm going to destroy the works of the devil. Because greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. I don't have to fear my adversary. Why? Because God is with me and God is for me. God is with you and for you. How many know that's true? Oh, they don't want you to, the devils don't want you to believe that. So they're going to try to get you to focus on the wrong thing. Put faith in yourself. Put faith in your circumstance. Now in Ecclesiastes chapter 11 and verse 4, I love this and I keep coming back to it because there's so much here. It says this, he who observes the wind will not sow. Now if you and I are already free in Christ, that means I'm no longer a servant of sin. I'm free. I believe that. When I believe that, it's a reality, you see. Free to do what? Free to serve the living God. We're free to serve him now. We're not to be preoccupied with our sin. We're dead with sin, dead to it. I'm alive unto God. To do what? To serve him now. Now, he who observes the wind will not sow, and he who regards the clouds will not reap. How many know that it's possible to be too cautious? If you and I wait for the conditions to be perfect in our lives, you'll never do anything. There are many Christians that don't do anything because they're still waiting to be perfect. Where they're not realizing that God's already taken care of that. God knew you couldn't be perfect, and that's why he provided an atonement for your sin through the blood of Jesus. So that you can forget about that stuff that's under the blood. You're not focusing on that. You're not preoccupied with that. You're not magnifying that. You're not putting your faith in that. You're putting your faith in God, and you're ready to run the race set before you because you've been set free. You know that you've already been set free. I'm an overcomer because of the blood of Jesus. Are you? Farmers, you know, they cannot wait for the wind and clouds to completely go away before they do the work. Every time you and I start to step out for Jesus, every time you and I determine to do the will of God, you can expect a few clouds. You can expect, amen, some wind. You can expect a few adverse situations because we're in a battle. But those adverse situations can never, never stop you from doing what God called you to do. Because God, amen, is the overcomer. He's greater. God would never tell you, go do this, and not provide you the power and the wisdom, the ability to do it. So when you step out to do what you know is right to do, what God has called you to do, you can expect some clouds, some rain. Amen? Some adverse situations. However, if you're in the will of God, it's just a matter of time. It's going to get out of your way. It's going to have to. Because the only thing that can stop you from accomplishing God's will is you. God's already given you the green light, and he'll back up his word. He'll perform it. So we've got to get over this thing called fear. We've got to get over this thing called doubt. We've got to get over this thing called sin. Amen? Forget about it. I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus. That's a thing of the past. My addiction is a thing of the past. I'm dead to it. If you wait until there's no risk of rain, the crops will rot before they're harvested. See, we don't like to take risks sometimes because we think, well, it's kind of risky to step out for God. It's just like a farmer, you know, looking at the ground and say, well, the ground looks pretty hard, you know. Well, looks like the wind might blow. So I think I better just hang on to my seed and wait for the conditions to be perfect. Well, how many know that you have a certain season of time to get your seed in the ground? And then there's a certain season of time for harvest. You cannot wait until the conditions are perfect. You need to sow your seed now while you're in the season of seed sowing. If you don't sow your seed in its season, you will not reap a harvest in its season. And many people are missing out on the opportunities that God has given them because they're waiting for the conditions to be perfect. They're looking at the cloud. They're looking at, you know, the wind. And they're saying, well, it looks like it's going to blow, so I'm not going to sow seed. And then when harvest comes, and how many know we're living in harvest right now? Don't say there are 4 months and then comes a harvest. Look upon the fields. They are white unto harvest, Jesus said. What do they say? He that regards the clouds shall not reap. Well, I don't want to get out there and bring the harvest in because I might get rained on. If God says, sow your seed, sow your seed. If God says, bring in the net, amen, bring in the net. Because it's not none of these things are going to stop you, amen, except you. God says to do it, he's going to perform it. He's going to back it up. God is big enough to take care of the wind and the clouds that we encounter in life. We need only to trust him. We need to take up our cross and we need to follow him every day. Do you know you're already free? You see, if you don't believe that, you won't be. Do you believe that Christ has set you free? Sometimes you may say, Lord, help my unbelief. But I want to believe your word. If we believe we're free from sin, guess what? You will walk free from sin. I'm not talking about a perfect life. I'm just talking about where that's not going to be your focus anymore. All it is about the enemy getting your attention on your sin. And it gets your attention on your sin, he'll magnify it, and then you'll fear it. And once you fear it, it begins to dominate you, begins to control you. But when you get your eyes off that and say, I'm dead to that, I'm alive unto God. Hallelujah. Lift your hands and begin to praise and magnify the name of Jesus. And let heaven come into your situation, come into your heart, come into your mind. Amen. Let heaven come down. Hallelujah. Let God arise and his enemies be scattered. I'm a new creation. I remember that old chorus. I'm a brand new man. Old things are passed away. I've been born again. More than a conqueror, that's what I am. I'm a new creation. I'm a brand new man. How many got victory today? See, if you don't believe you have victory, you won't walk in victory. How many overcomers are here today? Now, when you walk out that door today, the devil's probably going to be there and say, hey, remember me? Remember that sin? Speak to the hand, devil. I'm dead to sin. I'm alive to God. No longer is sin my master. I've been set free by the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. Never again. Never again do you have to pick up that cigarette. Never again do you have to pick up that joint. Never again do you have to shoot up. Never again do you have to get drunk. Amen? Because you're free in Jesus' name. Do you believe this? This is the report that God has given to us about his Son. And Jesus very clearly said, whomsoever the Son sets free is free indeed. And how are you set free? By the truth. You shall know the truth. So let's stand up and make a declaration together. Just repeat after me if you would. Say, I'm a new creation.
I'm a new creation.
I'm a brand new man.
Old things have passed away.
I've been born again. I'm not in bondage to sin, but I am free from sin to run the race set before me. I am free indeed in Jesus' name. I have victory. I have been set free. I'm going to change destiny. Praise God. Father, thank you. Thank you for the cross, Lord. Thank you for the blood of the covenant. Thank you that the blood of Jesus avails for us. Right now, we take authority over every work of the enemy in this place right now. And we command you, in Jesus' name, take your hands off God's people. The Lord rebuke you. You are defeated, and Jesus is Lord. Father, I pray the blessing of the Lord. May the Lord bless you and keep you and cause His face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up the light of His countenance on you. May He smile upon you and give you shalom, His peace.